right, Dre. All right, Dre. Pump it up, man. What's going on?
I love it, Rob. Here we go. Gotta wait for it. Wait for it, Rob. Here it is.
The time is now, America.
The time is now, yep.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now.
You I like that. I like that when he says a franchise, that's all. That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome,
it's
everyone.
Late, America,
welcome.
But it's time to wake up.
It is time to wake up. You know the drill. Today is Wednesday, the 28th day of March. And, of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by the famous Robert Ford. Looking forward to a great, phenomenal show tonight. Man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So, Rob, if you let me set the table, I would love to do that.
Go right ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I'm good. I was waiting for you to kind of chime in, but that's okay. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the Final Four preview. We're going to do some updates on the NFL free agency. We're going to discuss Robert Ford's mock draft 3.0, which is very exciting. And, of course, this is an interesting topic. Should Bill Parcells come out of retirement to coach the Saints? I'll be John Brown. The rich get richer. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump into this. Rob, how you doing this evening, as always?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Ready to get into this. I know we got a short time to discuss a lot here. Got a lot that's happening in the sports world. And, of course, none other than the big Final Four this upcoming weekend.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, for those who want to call in, you know the drill. Our number is always 424-243-9519. Don't be scared to come in. Give us a call. Talk about anything you want to talk about. And if you want to tweet us, we are always officially at 12th Man Sports. And always don't forget to like us on Facebook. There's a lot of ways to get in contact with us. And let's get started. But first and foremost, we're going to talk about the Final Four. For those who don't know, obviously, a lot of things went on. The South Division winner, number one, Kentucky, is going to be playing the West Division champion, number four, Louisville. And we got the East champions, number two, Ohio State, playing the Midwest champions, number two, Kansas. And just to kind of set the table, Rob, I think initially I had Kentucky, I had Michigan State, I had Florida State, and I had University of North Carolina in the Final Four. So obviously that has changed. And I guess you'll probably agree with me. I still think that Kentucky is the team to beat right about now. They showed me a lot these past couple of games. Sometimes whenever you have a young team, they tend to make a lot of mistakes, but these guys are playing well. I don't agree with Charles Barkley's assessment. They can beat a bad NBA team, but they are playing very well, a lot of confidence, and they are definitely the team to beat, I think, for the Final Four and also being the champion.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have to say that this Kentucky basketball team is the most athletic college basketball team I've seen in a very long time. I mean, these guys are long, they're athletic, they can run the floor, they can handle the ball. And Anthony Davis, this is probably one of the most skilled big men who's going to go right into the NBA that we've seen in a long time. I mean, this guy has Kevin Garnett kind of potential. He's 6'10", 6'11", he can shoot the ball. He can handle the ball. He's got great jumping ability, great timing and blocking shots on defense. Clearly the number one pick in this year's draft, and assuming he will be coming out. And, you know, I like to see my Hornets get this lottery pick because we can desperately use him and get this number one pick to get him. But yeah, this is definitely the most talented team that I've seen, definitely the most athletic team that I've seen in college basketball for a long time. And I said before the tournament, I thought North Carolina was the only team that was probably capable of beating them. But, of course, you know, with them losing Kendall Marshall and not being quite the same team, and based on what I've seen out of Louisville, Kansas, and Ohio State, I don't see any one of these teams beating Kentucky. I think Ohio State will beat Kansas. But ultimately, I think Kentucky will beat Ohio State for the national championship. So that's just how I kind of see it. I mean, this Kentucky team looks like they're going to have three lottery picks if these guys come out, Terrence Jones, Michael Kidd, Gilchrist. And I just don't see any one of these other three teams being able to beat them.
young team. And real quick, and also not to I know some people don't like Duke, but I don't know if you saw the announcement that Austin Rivers is actually leaving Duke to turn pro, so that's another little thing too. But you can talk about young players that are interesting too. But yeah, very like you said, that's a young team, and they have a lot of talent, and they have a lot of lottery picks too. So will Calipari continue to reload? We'll see. You know, obviously that's a big rivalry, Kentucky versus Louisville. But as you mentioned, talented guys, Anthony Davis, like you said, number one pick. We'll see how it plays out with the Hornets, but these guys, like you said, very athletic. It's going to be a tough go, but they're gonna win definitely. Like I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way this team loses is if they just beat themselves. I mean, they just have to have a horrible game. They have turnover the ball, have poor shooting nights, and but based on what I've seen, I just can't see them losing. But you know, they would definitely have to beat themselves. In order to lose or play against one of these teams, is going to have to really slow the tempo down in the game. They're getting the up-and-down game. Kentucky just has too many athletes.
Good deal. Yeah, I know they got a nice little test with Indiana. I got to give some shout-outs to my home state. But the only thing that beat them earlier, and I think they learned a lot from that game, which is a great up-and-down game, too. So that was good to see that. But, you know, as mentioned, it's going to be interesting moving forward, too. So I don't know if, Rob, you want to keep talking about that or anything you just want to say as we wrap up and start moving on the next topic, or I don't know if you had anything else to say as we move forward here.
Well, I think for the sake of time, you know, we'll go ahead and move on. And, you know, for our basketball fans, listeners, I know this is the last weekend of college basketball. You know, make sure you stay with us for some future shows. We'll start getting to some NBA playoffs, and then we'll start getting to a little bit of NBA draft, too. But at this point, we're going to move on to our next topic, which I believe is kind of tapping into a little bit of free agency here in the NFL.
Yeah, a lot of moves if you are paying attention to. And the most recent moves, obviously, you have Brandon Jacobs being signed by the 49ers, which is a very interesting move. It seems like the 49ers are signing a lot of players here, a lot of offensive players, if you will. And it looks like they're definitely trying to make a statement. And I guess if you're the 49ers fan, I think this is a good move to kind of Jacobs will definitely back up Frank Gore, obviously, and kind of give them another physical presence. And once again, Jim Harbaugh is trying to grind it out, I think. But and then you have a Randy Moss, too, so there's some capabilities of some play action, too. But it's another interesting move by the 49ers, and we'll see if anything moves as far as any other quarterback play. Or any quarterbacks get signed too, but I don't know if you have anything you want to talk about that too, but that's one of the key moves that just happened recently.
Yeah, on paper, this was a great move by the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, if you look at what they've done in free agency, Brandon Jacobs, Mario Manningham, Randy Moss, they've made some great moves. I think they've improved their football team on paper tremendously. And, you know, San Francisco went to the NFC Championship game last season. And if you really look at the body of work last season, they had a hard time scoring touchdowns. I mean, David Akers led the league in field goals, and they settled for field goals. But their defense was so good last season that they were able to win a lot of those ball games. And plus, their division was extremely weak. And it looks like on paper the division is going to be a little bit better. Seattle's got Matt Flynn. St. Louis may have a healthy Sam Bradford and a better coach than Jeff Fisher. So my assumption is that division is going to be better, and they're probably going to have to score more points to win some games. I don't know if you can expect your defense to have the kind of year that they had last season again this upcoming season. So I think hats off to San Francisco, Jim Harbaugh, and their regime. I think they're doing a heck of a job, not standing pat, and trying to build, you know, their team not only for this season but the long haul. So I definitely think they've done a tremendous job thus far in free agency, and we'll kind of see what kind of pieces they look to add here and in free agency as well. And, you know, getting on to your team, the Atlanta Falcons here, look like they have re-signed Todd McClure. I don't know if you want to comment on that. That's a good move, bad move, or were you looking to get younger there, or you think he's still a good player there to have for a couple of more years in the interior offensive line for the Falcons?
Definitely a good move if you're the Falcons. If you're the Falcons, because you know Matt Ryan is definitely the thing. I basically said that Todd McClure's been helping to make a lot of the calls And, you know, I don't quite think we're ready to turn over the reins to Joe Holly, the one of our rookie guys, too. But, you know, this gives us the time to, like I said, let McClure come in. I think that we're going to definitely address him in the draft or maybe free agency. But, you know, great move, like I said, to keep that line intact. You saw what happened last year when we lost Harvey Dahl. It caused a little some problems with our line, and we still have a hole at right guard we're trying to address. But good move. And I like how you actually gave me some props for that, too. So I'm going to turn the table and talk about you guys re-signing our guy, or actually signing our guy, actually, our Curtis Lofton. And that was an interesting move, too, because if you're a Falcon fan, I think the guy was a solid player. A couple things that he may have had some problems were coverage. Not saying he's bad at coverage, too, but just I think that was one of his one of his strongest strengths. But definitely you're getting a solid player, a solid citizen. He called made a lot of the calls on defense. So that was a great move, you know, from the Saints. You know, obviously solidifying you guys, maybe making us a little weaker, too. So we'll see how everything happens, and if Mike Nolan makes some moves with that, you know, in the draft, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it seems as though the Saints are pretty excited about Curtis Lofton. It seems like Curtis Lofton is pretty excited about joining the Saints. And it should be an interesting fit. I guess the Saints will kind of find out the what's going to be the results of Jonathan Vilma here. Is he going to be suspended? And if so, how many games? How long? Or is he just going to be fined? So I think, you know, the Curtis Lofton signing can serve for two purposes. If Vilma is suspended, my speculation is Lofton will start a middle linebacker immediately. If Vilmer is not, it looks like they're going to try Lofton at the strong side linebacker position, which he played a little bit in Oklahoma. And so, and that's what I hear the Saints are hoping for. They're hoping for, even if Vilmer suspended a few games, they're hopeful most of the season have those two guys to play together. But it should be interesting, and I know there's been some talk about Lofton not being great in pass coverage. Vilma is actually, he actually can play the pass pretty well. But once again, you know, Vilma's situation is pretty up in the air. He's pretty questionable as far as if he's going to be playing this season, and if so, how long, you know. So a lot of that's still up in the air. Hopefully, stay tuned and join us in the next couple of weeks. We'll probably have some more answers on that developing situation. And some other news here real quick. The Saints also signed Chris Chamberlain, the weak side linebacker from the Rams. Look like the Saints are going to try to get him to start at the weak side position as well. So it looks like they're overhauling the linebackers in New Orleans. Steve Smith, wide receiver from the Giants and the Eagles the last couple of years. He's going to St. Louis. And St. Louis desperately needs some wide receiver help for Sam Bradford. And so that could be a solid pickup. Most of these free agency moves now, this is, we're kind of starting to get into that second tier of free agency. So not a whole lot of big names. You know, Peyton Manning has settled. Tim Tebow has got his new team. A lot of the big names are have kind of gotten to their destination. You got William Gay, cornerback from Pittsburgh, going to Arizona. Defensive tackle Pat Sims going to Cincinnati. And here's a guy I'd like to get your feedback on. Running back to Rashard Choice. I know you're a big Georgia Tech fan. He played at Georgia Woo-hoo. Tech. He signed with Buffalo. And, you know, Buffalo, of course, now kind of has a crowded backfield. But, you know, as you well know, you need about 3 to 4 running backs nowadays in the NFL. You got to have depth at that position. And just kind of want to get your feedback on your opinion of Rashard Choice and how he will fit in there in Buffalo.
Rashard Choice was a solid player at Georgia Tech. Very underrated, I think. You know, he fit well with what Chan Gailey was doing at the time. And, you know, just I think he's going to carry it on. I mean, like I said, he was one of those guys that whenever he kind of entered the league playing with the Cowboys, they didn't know. I'm sure he caught everyone by surprise. But, you know, like you said, it's one of those situations where he's going to provide some good depth. If, you know, I'm sure Fred Jack's still going to do his thing. And then, you know, C.J. Spiller hasn't quite been the guy that they expected. I don't know if he's kind of had some injuries there, but I think it's a solid pickup by the Bills. And they look like they're probably getting an A when it comes to free agency, too. Now, obviously, all these moves are on paper, but, you know, you definitely got to watch out for the Bills. As mentioned before, I'm not sure if Ryan Fitzpatrick is kind of the answer at quarterback, but at this juncture, these guys are building, and obviously it's going to get even better as far as whenever they're in the draft too. So a lot of good moves, and you know, like I said, I'm a fan as well of what the Bills are doing.
And there's a connection there with Chan Gailey, being the head coach in Buffalo. He coached Deshaun Choice at Georgia Tech, too. So that move makes a lot of sense. There's a familiarity there with Deshaun Choice. So, and I'm sure the feelings are pretty mutual there. Those guys know each other pretty well. So that seemed like could be a match made in heaven with Deshaun Choice going to Buffalo. Listeners out there, if you want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. Call in if you got any questions about your team or free agency or upcoming NFL draft. We're going to get into that in a second. A couple other free agency moves. Dante Stallworth going back to New England. The guy still keeps to be hanging around the league. He's still got a little speed. And we all know that Tom Brady will spread the ball around. They still have Deion Branch and Wes Welker, and even restructured Chad Ochocinco's contract. So my guess is that somebody's going to be the odd person out there in New England. I can't see them keeping all of those wide receivers. I don't know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not looking good for Ochocinco, man. He may be Ocho Auto, you know, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Dante Stallworth keeps hanging around because he's got, like, a lot of speed. So, you know, kind of reminds me of Joey Galloway. That dude just kept getting signed by a lot of different teams. But, you know, that's my thoughts on that. You know, very interesting. But
Ochocinco has a salary reduced this upcoming season from $3 to $1 million. So that should be interesting as well. Denver went out and signed a couple of tight ends. Joe Dreesen, he was the backup tight end. Owen Daniels in Houston, pretty underrated tight end, you know, around the league who a lot of people are not aware of. Another tight end Denver went out and signed was Jacob Tammy, guy who played with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. So there's a little bit of familiarity there. And I think these are quietly a couple of solid pickups for the Denver Broncos, giving Peyton Manning a couple of big targets. The Joe Dreesen is also a guy even the Saints looked at to come in and play with Jimmy Graham. But he went with Denver, and I think those are a couple of solid pickups for the Broncos. I think Denver could still use a big play wide receiver. Not sure if they're going to be able to find that in the draft. But of course, Peyton Manning will even make the guys he do have even better.
Yep. Good stuff. And speaking of that, let's go ahead and let you up into the mock draft. We've got about 12 minutes to go, which we always plot all the time. But we're not going to talk about all the picks. I'm going to highlight a couple of picks, if you don't mind, Rob. And obviously, we'll talk about the top and some other guys. Yep, go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Okay. What I was going to say real quick, and let's talk about, obviously, 1-2 should be no-brainer. You know, obviously, we got Andrew Luck going to Indy, and you got Robert Griffin III going to Baylor. Now, I know you've got Matt Khalil, the offensive tackle from USC, going number 3 to Minnesota. You keep hearing some slight rumors that they are interested in Morris Claiborne, you know, so that's another option too. But I think that's going to stick with that. Just, I don't know if you heard the rumors here, Rob, that St. Louis is actually looking up at the Browns' number 4 pick, okay? And this is something else to think about. We're throwing out a couple of things too. Also, there's rumors that the Browns are trying to trade for Sam Bradford. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but there are some connections. We keep talking about familiarity in that Pat Shurmur used to be the offensive coordinator for Sam Bradford when he first got there. So,
Yes, you're right.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but just some interesting things that are going to say, whether there's smoke, there's fire. You know, there's a lot of teams that are still kind of looking at the quarterbacks, whether you're Cleveland, whether you're Miami. And, you know, obviously if you're the Rams, I mean, you got to think about where you are because I think the backups are A.J. Thiele and Kellen Clemens. I don't know how you feel about that. But I think if you're the Rams, they're going to get a heavy dose of Steven Jackson. And kind of your thoughts about this, too, because it looks like, you know, Cleveland does have some ammunition to move around. And if you're St. Louis, maybe you're trying to, you know, move up and grab some extra players. It's interesting, you know, I think they, like you said, that they still need a more explosive playmaker to kind of side with if they decide to keep Sam Bradford. I don't know what's going to happen, but kind of your thoughts on that. And, you know, let's talk about that. And also I'm going to talk about the 25th pick in Denver, too. So I don't know if you want to kind of speak to that and kind of your little your stuff too. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, I'll kind of comment on just about everything you just mentioned there. Number one, Minnesota. Right now, Matt Khalil, I think is the guy they are going to go with to go to Pro Bowl, potential Pro Bowl left tackle. They drafted a quarterback last year, Christian Ponder. And, you know, anytime you spend the first-round pick on a quarterback, you got to protect them. And so I still believe they're going to go with Khalil, but Morris Claiborne, if he is the number three pick in the draft, I don't think anybody should question the Vikings. This guy looks like a pure lockdown corner, and he has great ball skills. You know, sometimes you have great corners that can't catch the ball. But when you throw the ball on the side to Morris Claiborne, you got to think twice, because not only can he cover, but he can go up and get it as well. And so you have to think twice by throwing a ball on those sides of the field. So there's no doubt Claiborne can be worthy of a number three pick, anywhere between number three to some number eight or something like that. But as of now, I still think they're going to go with Khalil, because you got to protect the franchise and Christian Ponder. And getting into the Cleveland situation right now, as we stands right now, they still have the number four pick. And Cleveland desperately needs a quarterback. As of right now, Pat Shurmur is saying that Colt McCoy is their guy. But long-term, Colt McCoy is not the answer at quarterback to be the starting quarterback of that franchise. So the question, the dilemma that Cleveland has, the third-best quarterback in this draft is Ryan Tannehill. But he's not quite worthy of a number four pick in the draft. So you ask yourself the question, do we take a risk? Do we draft this guy too high? Or do we trade down? Now, there's some questions about the trade down, as you mentioned, number six to St. Louis. Or there's some questions about them trading down to number eight to Miami. Now, here's the deal. Do you want to trade with Miami? Because Miami is also rumored to be interested in Tannehill. So if Cleveland wants to trade down to draft Tannehill, do you do it with Miami? Realistically, if you trade down, you want to stay above Miami. So probably like St. Louis, number six, or Jacksonville, number seven. Because once again, I mean, you got to think with Mike Sherman being offensive coordinator in Miami and his connections to Tannehill, you run the risk of them taking Tannehill. And so that's the thing Cleveland has to determine. You know, do we trade down? Or do we just go ahead and take Tannehill, or we just take the best player available, who I believe right now at this pick would be Justin Blackmon. So it's very interesting. But I don't think the Rams would trade Sam Bradford, though. I think the third year, as you saw with Matthew Stafford this past season, well, the light just came on the third season, and he stayed healthy as well. I mean, he had a tremendous year. Quietly, Matt Stafford had an outstanding season, almost threw for 5,000 yards. Or a little bit over 5,000, actually. And so I just think you got to play that out, and you can't just trade a guy like Bradford just yet. So I don't think the Rams are going to trade him. But, you know, just like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. It could be a trade between Cleveland and the Rams. The Rams could possibly still be interested in going up and get Justin Blackmon, because, as you know, that offense doesn't have any legitimate wide receivers, top-rate wide receivers. So, I mean, there could be some rumors to that, but I don't think they're going to be trading Sam Bradford. And I know you wanted to comment on Denver pick number 25. And, yeah, callers, if you're out there, want to call in and give you comments about the draft, 424-243-9519 is the call-in number. And here's some comments about Denver's 25th pick.
Yeah, like I said, you had Jarrell Worthy, the defensive tackle from Michigan State, going. And this is something that I think Peyton Manning is going to try to push for an offensive weapon. And I know you had Michael Floyd going to the Jets at number 14, if I'm not mistaken.
I was thinking of that.
But I think this is where Stephen Hill may go. You get a pair of wide receivers. You know, you got Demaryius Thomas, obviously, there, and then you got a young guy that's going to come in. And I think he may be one of the best on the board. Not sure how they feel about Kendall Wright. I mean, I know you've got that's another guy too. I think he's a slot receiver, as we hear about. I don't know if you heard, there's a pro day that we had earlier with Alshon Jeffrey. He's a bigger wide receiver. He may be one of those guys that, you know, the Mike Williams situation where he gets too big, he may turn him into a tight end. But this is where I think Denver's going to get an offensive piece. So that's just me. And, you know, I don't know, like I said, your thoughts about that too. But, you know, obviously they're definitely building. And that defense is pretty solid, so you add a couple pieces and kind of see where everything happens with that. So that's just my thoughts on the whole scenario, you know. So.
Oh, I totally agree with you that could very easily be an offensive pick. And I think what's going to happen with that pick here with Denver is I think they can go a couple of different ways. They, as you mentioned, they can go a wide receiver there, Stephen Hill, Kendall Wright. They lost Brandon Buckley, probably one of their best, if not their best, defensive tackle to the Saints. So, I mean, that could be a position that they're going to need to replace. So that's why, you know, they're going to definitely have to consider somebody like a Jarrell Worthy. And you still got to remember John Fox is the head coach there. And even though he's got Peyton Manning, he's still a guy that likes to have a strong defense. And so, I mean, that's going to be up for consideration. And I tell you another thing, Denver may even also consider some linebackers. Not sure. I have Levante David going a couple of picks later out of Nebraska. But Denver has a couple of linebackers that's going to be suspended here in the start of the season. So, I mean, there's a couple of different areas where they can address. Chan Bailey is getting up in age. So you wonder, is it time to go for a corner to replace Chan Bailey? And they did sign Tracy Porter from the Saints, but they only signed him to a one-year deal. And so there's a lot of different directions here. I think, you know, between defensive tackle, wide receiver, corner, and linebackers, I think Denver takes the best available player at those positions at the time of the draft. And right now I just seem to be in Jarrell Worthy, but I would not be shocked if it's any of those other positions.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, as mentioned, we're kind of wrapping up. And this is the thing, we always have so much great information to give to everyone that, you know, time goes by short. But like I said, definitely take a peek at this. I'm thinking about Rob either posting this on the Facebook page as far as the mock draft, maybe the first round. But we'll get some more feedback too, because you got a lot of great picks as far as your thoughts. And this is evolving.
Let's post it.
We're going to post it. I think this is great too, because like I said, there's a lot of questions as far as what's going to happen with Cleveland. I know you've got Miami taking Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback from Texas A&M, and yeah, if nothing happens, if there's not a trade down or something like that, I think that's definitely going to happen. We are getting close to about the two-minute warning here, about 16 seconds for that. But once again, for those that want to call in, just giving the number out one more time, 424-243-9519. If you want to get your feedback on who Robert has for his picks, I know the Saints don't pick until the third round, and I'm going to be talking about that, who they had. I know it's a sore subject too. And like I said, we may not get a chance to talk about Bill Parcells coming out. I don't know if you want to touch that real quick on a minute to go, Rob, or you want to wrap anything about the draft, or you want to talk about that in the OT. How do you want to do that, sir?
Yeah, we can kind of, for those of you, we're probably going to, the next 15 minutes in our OT segment, we'll be talking about Bill Parcells, maybe covering a little bit more of the draft. So definitely log into our link, go to Facebook and 12 Man Sports, so you can link in and listen to our remaining 15 minutes. And stay tuned for future shows. We're going to recap the National Championship game on next week. We're going to start getting to the stretch run here at the NBA, NBA draft, NFL draft, free agency, all the above. Still got a lot of exciting topics to discuss. So make sure you join us next Wednesday, the same time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. For those of all of our listeners in Hawaii, we know you're out there. 5 p.m. Hawaii time.
Yes, and that's great too. And also, we'll recap some couple things too. There's a lot of owners meetings going on, and a lot of key issues were discussed as far as some key rules, as far as overtime, and kind of reviewing a lot of turnovers, some more penalties on crackback blocks, little things like that. We'll kind of give you guys some updates on that too. But as Robert mentioned, we're here every Wednesday unless anything changes. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8. Pacific time.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific time, yeah. And then obviously, what's out in Hawaii? All my got a family out in Hawaii too. So come check us out, listen in, and we definitely want to get your feedback and all that stuff too. But other than that, we got about 10 seconds. Thank you for listening. Check us out. Please tweet us at 12th Man Sports, and check out the OT. Thank you, guys.
Good night, people.
And we're off. So now we are in officially the OT. And, Rob, let's kind of delve into the mock draft, if you will, a little bit more. And I don't know if you want to talk about the top 10 picks or anything else. And then we can talk about the Bill Parcells coming out of retirement. And I like what you had going here. So if everything stays the same, if there's no movement, number four, you got Cleveland taking Justin Blackmon, as mentioned, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Tampa Bay, you have them drafting Trent Richardson, running back from Alabama. That's kind of a toss-up. I can go either or with him or Morris Claiborne. I totally agree.
That's one I've wrestled with. And
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's one that I've wrestled with quite a bit, Trent Richardson or Morris Claiborne. And, you know, Rondé Barber is kind of getting old there with Tampa Bay at the corner position. So you can definitely see that a guy like Claiborne. And another thing that, you know, a lot of people may not be aware of this, but Tampa Bay hired LSU's defensive back coach. And so the new defensive back coach at Tampa is LSU's former defensive back coach, Ryan Cooper. So obviously he's coached Morris Claiborne for the last 3 years. So there's another connection there. So you can easily see Tampa Bay going with Morris Claiborne to be there. But just listening to Greg Schiano, supposedly he's watching film of LeGarrette Blount, and he's not too happy with his fumbling issues and pretty much issued a stern warning to LeGarrette Blount that the fumbling doesn't stop you, you'll be on the bench. And so Trent Richardson is a guy that maybe could be a little bit more trustworthy for Tampa Bay. So right now, that's where my gut kind of leans me direction they're going to go, is to go with Trent Richardson. And Tampa Bay has made it clear that they are going to be a run-first team this upcoming season. They're going to be a run team to set up the pass. And, you know, that was one of the things, reasons why they went out and got Carl Nix. And they have Devin Joseph already at one guard position. They're going to be really strong up front in the O-line. And if they can get LeGarrette Blount to fix his fumbling issues and get a guy like Trent Richardson, they're going to be a team that can kind of pound you and control the ball and keep other teams' offenses off the field if it goes well for them. Josh Freeman had a letdown year last season. So, but that, I think that's one of the reasons why they're trying to help him with a strong running game. So we'll see how that goes. But I totally agree with you. They could definitely go Morris Claiborne, but I kind of think they're leaning toward Richardson right now.
Gotcha, gotcha. So then the next pick, obviously, that's one of those toss-ups things. We'll see how everything plays out. Number seven, you got Jacksonville taking Quentin Copeland, the defensive end from North Carolina. This is one of those guys that you keep hearing a lot of different things, whether some good, some bad. You keep hearing that dude is immensely talented, freakish athlete, but I guess this past year he didn't have those good numbers as he has in junior year, and there are some things that he's kind of like a buyer beware for certain teams. But, you know, a guy that's talented, hopefully if you get somebody that's a good coach, he'll come in and they'll kind of get on him too. So, you know, that's kind of interesting too because you would think that Melvin Ingram is kind of a higher pick there, but you know, we'll see about that, too. So I know you're, when you can talk about him, and then we'll talk about Miami and Ryan Tannehill, if you will.
Yeah, of course, Melvin Ingram there. I mean, he's a guy that could go anywhere between number 7 all the way to number 20. And but I think he's a guy that's I think you know what he is. I don't think he's a guy that you're taking a risk with. And I think that's the reason why he's going to be up there in that 8 to 12 range. I can't see him falling to the 20s because he's such a solid player. And he's a very smart ball player as well, very athletic. And Carolina, outside of Charles Johnson, they're lacking at the pass rushing. They're lacking pass rush. And Carolina could also use some interior help. So they need a lot of help. Carolina had a ton of injuries on the linebacker position last season. Outside of Chris Gamble, they're lacking corners. I mean, their defense was horrific last season, if you really look at it. I mean, Carolina's defense could not stop anyone, which is kind of surprising when you go back to John Fox days. But outside of Charles Johnson, they didn't have another pass rusher. They lack interior depth at defensive tackle. The linebackers were injury prone. And outside of Chris Gamble, they didn't have any other corners last season. Believe it or not, their offense was very strong last season. That's what kept them in a lot of games. Cam Newton had a great season. His running back, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Steve Smith revived his career. And Carolina's a strong offensive line. You know, that has become the strength of their team. So they are very much lacking on defense. So Ingram will be a great pick to pair with Charles Johnson here. I mean, they can even go with a guy like Michael Brockers, Dontari Poe, defensive tackle from Memphis. It could be another option here. But I can't see Carolina drafting any offensive players at this position. They desperately need some defensive help. And Ryan Tannehill going to Miami, I mean, Miami desperately needs a quarterback. And I think Miami and Cleveland at this stage, as of March 28, 2012, they're probably the two teams that are, as of right now, that is questionable at the quarterback positions and don't legitimately have an answer just yet. I think we all know Indy and Washington is going to fix their situations, being that they have the top two picks. But it's, I think Miami and Cleveland is going to play a game. Who can get in the best position to get Ryan Tannehill? And as the draft stands right now, I mean, I think Tannehill will get picked in at number 8 unless Cleveland just finds a legitimate reason to take him at number 4. Or trade down a little bit. But there's an obvious connection with Tannehill and Mike Sherman in Miami. And Sherman was the guy that made the call and changing his position from wide receiver to quarterback. So he knows the ins and outs, the strengths and the weaknesses of Tannehill. And so I think it's just going to be a matter of can he go in to that boardroom in Miami and convince that organization to draft Tannehill.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on him, too? Because like you said, you know he's a converted wide receiver. Do you really think he is ready to play right now? And then also, secondly, if you're Miami, do you kind of build teams like, you know, like teams that have had success as far as, you know, that have young quarterbacks, like have a strong running game, and is that going to be a focus, too? Because, you know, like you said, you know, I don't know at the end of the day if Ryan Tannehill is the answer for the Dolphins. I mean, can they get by with a David Garrard for a year? You know, is he ready to kind of jump in? I mean, like you said, last year some teams reached for some quarterbacks with Ponder and Lockhart. And do you think he's ready to kind of step in and be the starter, or is he going to be a situation where he's waiting? And then do you think he's going to be the answer for the future?
Well, I definitely think he's the answer for the future. He's got great size. He's got great length. He can see over the line of scrimmage. And he's got some mobility. I mean, you're talking about a guy who used to be a wide receiver as well. And he's about 6'3", 6'4". Stands very tall in the pocket. He's becoming an accurate passer. And I think in the perfect situation for him will be to back up David Garrard for a little while. I think if he goes to Cleveland, he's the guy who's going to have to start right away, probably from week one.
Interesting. Let's just wrap up the top 10 pick, and then we'll go into the Bill Parcells talk. Then you have Riley Reiff, the outstanding offensive tackle from Iowa. I know, like you said, there's always one of the best offensive line coaches in college, in Kurt Ferentz. You made a comment about short arms. And every time I think about short arms, I think about Tyrannosaurus Rex. Man, I don't know why I think about that because I got a little arms. But I think this is an interesting pick too. I think this can go either way. The Bills have done a tremendous job in free agency. I think they can go this route, too. I think also they may grab another guy. They may look at a guy from Alabama, you know, Courtney Upshaw, too. That could be a pick, too, if they want to continue to get strong defensively. It's a toss-up either or, too. But if they build that line, as you mentioned, you know, strength on strength, you know. I don't know if you want to comment on that pick.
Yeah, really quick, Ryan Reiff, as you saw the comment on my draft, yeah, the one concern that some NFL scouts are having with him right now is his short arms. And, you know, a lot of times with these offensive tackles, especially if he's going to be a left tackle, you like to have those long arms to be able to extend out and keep those defenders away. I mean, one possibility is you can move him to right tackle and maybe won't have that problem as much. But if you look at him on film, he's a great technician. And like I said, he's been coached by one of the best offensive line coaches in college football, you know, Kirk Ferentz. So the guy is very sound technique-wise. And Buffalo is already pretty much has a great defensive line now. They signed Mark Anderson as well as getting the biggest, one of the biggest defensive free agent signings this offseason, Amari Williams. And they already have a solid secondary. Maybe they can use another piece at linebacker. You mentioned Courtney Upshaw. And the only reason I would say they would not go to a guy like Upshaw, Upshaw is more of a tweener between the outside linebacker, defensive end. He's probably more suited for the 3-4 defense. And Buffalo is changing their defense to 4-3 this year with Dave Wannstedt taking over as coordinator on defense. So you're going to have Mario Williams and Mark Anderson at the ends, and you're going to have Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius at tackle. So they could probably use another linebacker more suited for the 4-3. If they do go to linebacker route, I think it'd be more of the Luke Cutchley, linebacker from Boston College, who can play middle or outside linebacker. But Courtney Upshaw is probably better suited for a team that's going to play in the 3-4. And as you see in the mock draft, I have him going to number 11 to Kansas City, which he'll be a perfect fit there. Kansas City and Romeo Crennel runs that 3-4 defense.
You know, I just saw Alabama. I got excited, man. I figured they can plug and play in any, 3-4, 4-3. But, taking that easy on me, too. But real quick, we got about 3 minutes, about three and a half minutes. You want to talk real quick about Bill Parcells possibly coming out of retirement to coach the Saints? Is that really going to happen, you think? Or are you happy as a Saints fan? Or kind of what your final thoughts as you wrap up the show, the OT?
Well, I will say this. Well, when the report first came out on Monday, I thought it was still kind of slim to none. But I think at this point now, I'll be shocked if Bill Parcells is not the head coach for the Saints just for this one season, based on the comments that you're hearing. I think I think if it's up to Sean Payton, he's ready to pull the trigger on it right now. But I think he's just trying to get Mickey Loomis and Tom Benson to kind of sign off on it and go with it. But I think if you're a Saints fan, of course, most Saints fans are still highly disappointed at Roger Goodell's ruling. But at this point, you can't let that continue to hold you down. You got to move forward. And I think this will probably be a great solution for one season. And the reason why I say that is you bring in a guy that's going to still be able to keep things in pretty stable, and the Saints organization will have a lot of stability. You got a guy who's a strong leader, a strong disciplinarian, who's not going to take a lot of crap. And another thing is you can leave your coordinators in place. You can let Carmichael run the offense, which he pretty much did most of last season. Spagnuolo run the defense. And Parcells can kind of just manage, manage the entire operation. So I think it'll be a perfect scenario if they're able to work it out for the Saints in that regard. So, at this point, I would be shocked if he's not running the Saints. But, once again, for our listeners out there, stay tuned. We'll probably have some news on that next week. And I'm sure there will probably be some news coming out in regards to this within the next week if Parcells is going to be running the Saints or not.
Like I said, well, I'll be John Brown. If the Saints don't mess around and lose their coach for the season and they end up getting one of the better coaches in Bill Parcells, you talk about an amazing scenario, too. It's just the rich get richer, as I mentioned earlier. I mean, like I said, I'm not hating. It's just one of those situations of like, man, you can't pick a better scenario if you're the Saints to go from Sean Payton to go to Bill Parcells, So
yeah.
We're wrapping up.
Well, under the circumstances, yeah.
Yeah,
but I think
yeah.
most Saints fans would still prefer to have Sean Payton. Sean Payton's one of the most gutsiest play callers that we've seen of our time. And, the guys turn out to be – I hear players say that they've never seen a coach that comes in with a game plan presentations on Wednesdays better than Sean Payton. And so you're still going to lose a little bit by not having Sean Payton. I mean, the guy has an innovative mind. And you can go as far as to say he's the latest genius to come in the NFL. I still think you're going to lose a little bit there. But I think with that being said, the Saints has a strong locker room and still should be a strong playoff team next season, even without Sean Payton, especially if you can get a guy like Parcells. There's a little bit of concern. Parcells is 7 years old, but I think overall, will Parcells make the gutsy calls that Sean Payton does? Will he do a fake punt? Will he do an onside kick? Will he go for it on 4th and 2? So you have some of those kind of calls. And, you know, if you go back to the 1990 NFC Championship game, Parcells did pull out a fake punt.
See you next week, guys.
Okay.
Guys.
Good night, people.
Good night.